The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Hello, everybody. I hope your day is going well. My name is Jared, and this is podcast number 287. And on this podcast, we've only got three full segments for you. But I think they're good ones. The first one I've sort of titled, Here We Go Again. I believe this is scammy behavior, and it talks about a situation I've talked about on an earlier podcast. But this time it gets quite interesting. The second talks about Transit App. They have released version 5 of their application, and I actually like the way it is laid out. It's still very, very accessible. There is a quick demo of it, but it's not much of a demo, but it does show you a little bit how the new platform works, and you can even set alerts, and I'll be looking at that more in detail. Finally, I bring back, in a way, a segment, and it's a little bit done differently as an article, which will be linked to in the show notes, which you'll find on the RSS and blog. Phishing 101, targeted attacks, and Phish Labs really did a great job with this one, and I think that the story of the last several podcasts really ties into it when you are reminded as part of this 30 plus minute segment where we talk about portions of the article and I give my thoughts and tie it into the recent conversations that I've been having. You might agree or disagree, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. And finally, I would publicly like to thank Anchor for their assistance during this transition, as we are now officially on Anchor. Our RSS feed is pointing to them, and we have also updated our contact information on the blog. That page hasn't been updated in a long time, but we definitely updated it. And I talk about some things I will make sure I check into as we continue to grow. My contact information real quick, email or iMessage, tech, that's T-E-C-H at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. If you have me on Skype, you can utilize that too. The Skype username is JaredR80. That's JaredR80. Or if you want that number, it's 818-921-4976. The podcast is going to last you over an hour, and I hope that you will enjoy the program as much as I have putting it together for you. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and we are going to get started with Here We Go Again. I believe this is scammy behavior. This is podcast 287. Some strong language is in this segment. All right, folks, so I talked a couple of podcasts ago about something that really got me a little suspicious about them, and I was not passing judgment on them, but I think it's gone to a whole new level. I was followed by somebody who then blocked me on Twitter. They claimed they were from the military. And they wanted to settle down, have a relationship. Yeah, you heard this story from them. Same person. They are telling me now that they have feelings for me. They say they have not had anything because of what somebody did, and that they want me, and this, that, and the other. And they happen to tell me they're in Florida. Now, this is the same person that told me that they wanted a gift card from iTunes so they can communicate with me and I told them that I was not sending money for gift cards. And I reminded them of this. I said, you were the one that asked for gift cards. They said, well, I don't want to be sanctioned. I'm sorry. But there's something wrong with this picture. I know of someone who's in the military who actually, I believe they're military family, who actually teaches harp. And they are part of the Music Education Network for the Visually Impaired. And I told them that they can, that I told this one person, I said, you cannot be sanctioned for talking to anybody. And I was pretty much called a traitor. I don't want to be, you know, caught talking to a traitor. I'm not a traitor. I don't work for the government. I can't turn you in. I don't know who you are. They asked me to explain myself when I told them that this is a scam. What are you talking about? They said. I promptly deleted the messages from Hangouts. Now, if they go and give out my email address, which is all they have on me, then so be it. I could smell the scam when they're asking me on Twitter. I've never talked to them, never heard their voice or anything else of them besides text. And I can't imagine why this person thinks that they need a gift card, especially an iTunes gift card. iTunes allows you to make purchases of stuff from the iTunes store, such as books and movies and apps and games, anything Apple related. It won't allow you to buy things so you can talk to somebody in a different country. That's why there's apps like Hangouts or WhatsApp. If you want to talk to somebody from a different country and you're worried about the cost, there are alternatives out there. I'm not looking for your phone number. I'm happy that you're in the military. But I am not one to just send out money without knowing who you are first. And everybody should do that. I mean, an employer, you have to give them information about yourself before you're even in their payroll. It's just the nature of the beast. Sure, I could have sent them a $50 or $100 gift card, but then they would have another email address for me. Okay, fine. But then you're telling me you're in one country, now you're telling me you're in the States. I don't even know who you are, and you're telling me what you want. You want a man. A strong man. Okay, fine. You want a strong man that will give you a $50 to $100 gift card so you can talk to him so that you're not sanctioned. Bullseye. Problem. Big time problem. You don't need any gift card to talk to anybody unless you're making an international telephone call over the phone network. But you can use telephone apps on your device to make those calls. One of them is Hangouts. Hangouts to Hangouts are free. I have a Google Voice number. And I also have Skype. Well, Skype are free. Skype to phone costs very little. I've done it. It is completely low cost. And I don't see what the problem is. Now, I've been looking for a woman, but you ask me what you want. I told you what I want. You've not called me. Then you tell me how dry you are. I don't know. First of all, I don't know what that means. And second of all, I've not even talked to you on the phone. I mean, sure, people play those type, do this type of thing over the net, and it's like one time thing, and that's not a big deal, but I could smell the fact that this is a problem. And I think it's time to bring this up again. And I still am not going to bring up the person's name, because I don't even think that they're telling me the truth. I just smell a problem all over the place. I tell you this story because it's similar to an article that I've read that I linked to in several podcasts ago. And I tell this story in relations to that article where a lot of the similarities of what is being taught can be found very valuable in day-to-day conversation. When I talk about White Cane Travel, I say, here's my website. You're welcome to donate. But in no way do I say, oh, by the way, can I have $100? Because I don't approach people that way. Really, I don't. Now, I'd like to keep my independent artist channel going. And it'll be kept going, whether people donate or not. It just won't be updated with music, unless it's from Magnatune. There's ways to keep things going without having to do much. I've kept White Cane Travel going with no donations. I'd like to continue the outreach, but you have to do it the right way. Especially with people you don't know. You can't just say, oh, here, give me, you know, like $100 iTunes gift card because I want to talk to you, you know, so that I don't get sanctioned. And the military doesn't work that way. They're telling me, oh, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I know somebody in a military family, and they conduct business as normal. This is all a scam. I can smell it. They're asking me to explain myself. I just said, fuck it. I am deleting this conversation, and unless they have anything intelligent to say to me, or they decide to call me, I'm not doing a thing about this. This is absolutely all fucked up. I don't understand how people think that they can get away with telling people that they need this for that when you damn well know that it does not, and what they want isn't used for that purpose. Are they thinking I'm stupid? An iTunes card to talk to somebody anonymously. You can't buy minutes from an iTunes card. I don't see that as an option for in the App Store. And I just find the whole thing a problem. It just smells like a big problem. Now, if I've had it all wrong, I want to know. But the people I've talked to about this have told me that there's definitely something wrong. I am curious on your thoughts, and we will continue with more of the podcast on Tech Podcast 287. Got an update, and instead of doing a full-blown demo, I would show you what's new. Now, in offline mode, you're not going to get the real-time data, but visually there have been some changes, and I actually am liking the way that this works. I'm not going to do a whole lot with it, and I'm not spending a lot of time on it, but I thought that this podcast would benefit on the changes.
Messages. Override messages.
For better ease of convenience, we're going to plug in a pair of speakers to this iPhone 5S that has been serving me quite well. And hopefully I can have this phone for a long time to come.
1255. Apple folder. 7 apps. 2 new items. Opening Apple folder.
I don't want that phone.
Navigation
I want
folder.
This one.
6 apps. Opening navigation. Transit.
Now in offline mode, it might not work exactly the same, but you'll get the idea. So it's going to notify me that it's in offline mode. The top
offline, no real-time data
of the map. The top of the map is visible. And you get the map at the very top of the screen. Underneath
offline, 1255.
The status bar.
Offline, no real-time data.
And then underneath it says,
where to?
Where to? So you can now do several different things. And this is why I don't want to necessarily change or make it online, even though I would get notifications and so forth. I could fix it so I don't, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Now,
where to? Where to?
You can.
Options available. Plan trip to. Activate. Plan trip to.
Plan trip to or activate?
Activate. Default. Where to? Search field. Search field. Is editing. Where to? Character mode. Insertion point. Pull to dismiss. Set home. Set work. Winnetka/Van Owen. Top
so,
suggestion is your location. Dismiss. Button.
I haven't really
dismiss.
Played with this.
Offline. Where to? Plan trip to. Search field. Is search field. Is editing. Enter home address. Insertion point start. Choose on map. Pull to dismiss. Top to set this. Pull to dismiss. Dismiss. Button. Dismiss.
I haven't really
offline.
Played with it,
no
but you
data.
Could see that it's all there. Now, underneath that, so that's at the top of the bus list. Then, you have this.
150 Canoga PK, Northridge, Universal City, Ellipsis. Direction Universal/Studio City Station. Next departure in 22, 54, 86 minutes at stop Ventura/Kelvin.
Now, again, I don't want this on online mode, but I'll just swipe down.
Change directions.
You can change directions.
Direction 2 of 2. 150 Canoga PK, Northridge, Universal, direction 1 of 2. Activate.
Or, and activate. When you activate.
Selected. Offline. No real-time data.
Things change, and I know it's offline, but
150 Universal/Studio City Station. Next departures in 22 minutes. Selected. In 54 minutes at 14:24. Activate to change direction. Swipe up or down to select a custom action, then double tap to activate. 100 change departure. See full schedule. Service alerts.
So here we can have, and I didn't really see this in full. I wanted to mainly use it for my own purposes, but you can see full schedule.
Activate. Service alert. See full schedule. Change departure.
Change departure.
Activate. Change departure. Departure 2 of 2. 150 Universal/Studio City Station. Next departures in 21 minutes. In 53 minutes. Selected. At 14:24. See full schedule. Change departure. Departure 3 of 3. 150. See full. Change departure. Departure 1 of 3.
So it goes
Universal
between
Studio City Station.
The three
departure.
Available next departures.
See full service alerts.
And service alert. Alerts.
Button. Good service. Good service. Good service. Tap to change notification settings. Not receiving notifications. 150. Close. Button.
So you can receive notifications of alerts for service disruptions.
150 Universal Ventura/Chalk Hill, 13:21. Ventura/Chalk Hill, Ventura/Chalk Hill, rows 1 to 3 of Ventura/Chalk Hill, Ventura/Del Moreno, 13, 22, rows 1 to 4 of 60, Ventura/Winnica, 13, 23.
It has the stop list.
Ventura, 150, Universal/Studio City Station, next departures in 20 minutes, selected, in 52 minutes, at 14, 24. Activate to change direction. Start go. Button.
Then there's a button. It's like a red button, visually, that says start go.
Start go. Button.
And
150 Universal Studio City Station. Departing in 19 minutes.
It'll also update itself in real time. I still have an issue with the orange line and the 750 where it will call the last stop way ahead of itself. I'm going to check on that bug, but when it works correctly, I like it. I used it today. Go still as accurate as always. When it knows you're getting on the bus, then it starts giving real-time data, and we'll update that based on your location.
Close. Button. Alert. Stay and go to keep providing real-time departures to fellow riders. Stay. Button. Exit. Go.
I'm
button.
Exiting because exit. I'm not going to selected. Do that.
150 Canoga PK, North. Selected. 244 Chatsworth.
But that's sort of how
app switcher.
The new app works.
Closing navigation folder. Trans.
I'm relatively impressed. They kept all the accessibility in place. They really thought this out. I haven't played with all of the available features. I didn't set service alerts on this line. I can do that for this line, the 750, the 150, the 150, the 750, the orange line, and I believe I could probably set it for the red line. But I also follow Metro on my phone too through LA Metro alerts, so I get tweeted about things when it's needed. But that is kind of cool that we can do that. I don't know how accurate the service alerts are. It was there in this app before, but then it seemed to disappear, so I'm actually glad to see that it's back, so I'd be interested to subscribe to, you know, a couple of the lines that I take on a regular basis to see how it works. And when my phone is active, I will make sure that, you know, it'll alert me if there's any trouble. And of course I'm going to follow up with the bug I submitted because it still exists. But each person's going to have a different viewpoint and different experience than I, but it does seem a lot better streamlined than it was before. A lot of the changes made are visual, so the maps at the top, the where do you want to go bar is closer to the bottom, so you have more map space for those people who use the app that rely on the map, and the map can show you where the bus is in real time. That's not going to give us blind individuals any good. We're going to have to rely on the real-time departure. And like what happened to me, it recognized the bus was late and it was showing me the next bus. But as soon as my bus showed up, it then detected that I was on a bus. And then, of course, it would update the real-time data. I only helped 4 people going, and maybe about 5 or 10 on the way back. I really see that I help over 100 people on the Orange Line. And, of course, all of us using Go and Transit app don't know each other, but basically Go, if you remember correctly, is a crowdsourcing data collection thing. So once you get off the bus and the bus leaves or you walk away from the bus stop, it's going to tell you how many people you've helped and it'll stop tracking that bus. It is best to use this in data mode, because when you don't use it in data mode, it won't tell you how many people you helped, but it will tell you when you get off the bus. That's kind of weird, but that's how I noticed it. I'm not going to do a full-blown demo. I've done a demo of the Transit app on an earlier podcast, and if you would like that demo, I think I did versions 3 and 4, but there are such slight changes in 5. I pretty much did that for you, but if you want it in full demo, I am willing to do that for you. Just let me know if that interests you. My email address is tech, that's TECH, at menvi.org. That's tech, TECH, at menvi.org. And I will be interested to hear what you have to say. Thanks for listening to this quick updated. This is, by the way, version 5 of Transit App. If you want me to do a full-blown demo, I can do that using Dropbox and my phone. Of course, that'll be kind of interesting on the weekends because of the fact that it runs a different schedule. And of course, Transit app knows which buses run depending on the day. They get their data directly from the transit agency, and if the agency adds a new stop, the app checks daily for any changes, from what I was told by the Transit app support, which is great. I'm Jared. Thanks for listening. All right, folks. So it's time for me to talk about this article, and it is a great time for this particular post to be out. We've talked about stories of people in hypothetical situations trying to throw out bait and, here's an innocent conversation, here is whatever. And this article comes out, and it is a perfect article. And I will link it in the show notes. And you can get the show notes either via RSS or through the blog. And the blog, even though we've moved RSS feeds, the blog is always going to be at technology.jaredreimer.net. Unless for some reason That has to change, but I don't see that changing anytime soon. This article was written for the Fish Labs blog by Alexa Villanueva, and it was posted on the 5th of September. And we'll step through this article. And while I was talking about a conversation I was having with somebody, and at that particular time they wanted a gift card, even though it was a text conversation, I still grew suspicious. And when I started that conversation, and I talked about it on the blog, one of the articles I read from Fish Labs said, one of the things that they're going to do is say, here, I need this, and, you know, you need to give me this so that we can, you know, do something, or I need this because you were chosen to do this for me, or whatever, in an email. And while there wasn't a link in my messages to click on, it showed signs of trouble. So, you can be compromised either through a fish or a social engineering attack, according to the article. And these two techniques are combined, according to the article, for a more threatening attack. This is now known, according to Fish Labs, as a targeted attack, and otherwise known as a targeted fish. Hey, I'm this person. For me to communicate with you, I need you to buy me an iTunes gift card so that I can communicate with you securely, so that I don't get sanctioned. Excuse me? That was in a text message on Google Hangouts. I'm sorry? You're going to get sanctioned for talking to me? I'm sorry, that doesn't... The government can't do that. And then they want me to explain how they're scamming me? I'm sorry, there's something wrong with that picture. I knew it. I knew I was targeted to send them a gift card. Even though it was an email, there was no links involved. You know, there was personal conversation going on too, but boy, I could smell it. All of us leave information behind, according to the article. And this is because we just use the internet, post on social media, and so forth. And so, the social engineer can learn your name, address, place of work, and in many cases, both personal and work email. There are different types of services out there, including Google, White Pages, Spokio, and more. With even more work, you can find out who your relationships with, the names and schools of any children involved in a relationship, how much you're spending on a mortgage, what your social security is, you know, how much the government's paying you, and even your own net worth. even you can find out the target's friends, their friends, and a whole lot more. And new people are always getting on the internet. And I've not been one to go post, for example, what I eat for dinner. Where I'm going. I've done it through Yelp to see how it worked. And I earned a badge. Okay. But then I didn't do it every time. To start out with, I did. When I went to a particular place. But then, I didn't do it every time. And now, I don't do it at all. I just did it to see what it was like. I checked my Google, or my Twitter, to see what the post was like. And I was like, okay, this was kind of interesting. Yeah, somebody could, if they followed my Twitter, determined that I'd go somewhere every so often. But it was a public place. And of course I didn't do it everywhere. So, there's more to this article, including the fish anatomy. They have everything that you need to have a very crafted email. So if you get an email, hey, I know who you are. You owe money. If you don't pay up, this is what's going to happen. There are different types of strategies. And sometimes they even know that your work machine can access your personal email. And the attack that leverages a friend or a family identity made during business hours can be effective. They impersonate someone you know. This comes very important because if I write you an email from tech@menvie.org, it's going to have a certain signature that is sent with every message. Jared Reimer, the technology blog and podcast, http://technology.jaredreimer.net. And if my email address is used to send email and you don't see my name attached to it at the bottom of the email or at the bottom of the reply, you know, or you should know then, that that's a problem. I'm going to skip a lot of the article because I'm not going to go through each and every thing, but one thing I do want to cover is how do you tell real from fake? The question is, can you tell, or does this mean that all email is evil? Does this mean you can't open an attachment? No, it says. But you have to differentiate between most legitimate email and the one that might be questionable. Most of us have a small set of correspondence. And with that inner circle, you know that anything that isn't out of the ordinary could be questionable. You'll know it from the tone, the way they address you, and the things they're sending. The most important thing is to trust your instinct. For me, for example, if you got an email that looked questioning, you can go to the blog. There should be a page on the blog. You would find the heading for pages, and one of them is contact information. If you find that, you'll find information you can use to contact me. And I would be happy to hear from you. And you are welcome to contact me to ask me if something looks fishy. Emails are always spoofed, especially if you get an email in the middle of the night from my technology email address, and I am usually trying to sleep at that time of night. If you get an email in the middle of the night from me, and you know that, you know, I'm in the United States and you're in the United States, but yet you're doing email for whatever reason, and you see an email from me, and you know that I have already gone to bed, then that could be questionable too. It all depends on patterns and behaviors and things that you know about people. And sure, you're going to get new correspondence all the time. What's this? I'm going to say it's okay to open the email. Especially if it's a first-time correspondence, and see how it is written. You know, maybe go to the website and see if it's a legitimate website. Although we have talked about strange-looking domains, especially the .top domains, if you look at the email and you click on it, it's like, oh, let's see where this goes. I do that because I'm like, I want to see what is being sent so that I can talk about it so that people can be educated. And, you know, even today, I got an email. It said, you won. Okay, let's see what I won. I don't remember signing up for anything, but I'm curious. And it's a video. At the bottom of it says ClickBank is involved in it, and it's talking about making thousands of dollars a day. And I sat there and listened to the video, but then I looked at the URL, and I knew that it wasn't ClickBank's domain. I've been to that website once, many, many years ago. When you get an email from a personal friend outside your inner circle, you should look at the sending domain to match email address you know on file. The bad guys will know your friend's name, but they won't be able to spoof the address. If the domain doesn't make sense, don't click. And don't go any further. For example, if you see something that says, and the name on my account says, Jared Reimer Technology Blog and Podcast. If you see that, and you don't see my signature, look at the domain. See where it's coming from. And you can learn, oh, this is fake. This isn't him. I've seen email comes from very strange domains, and sometimes I will take the domain portion of the email address out, copy it, and I will go to the website to see if there's a website. Lots of cases, there are no websites. Lots of cases, it's a redirected page to something I didn't want. But I get curious sometimes. I'm like, huh, let's see what threats are out there, because then I could talk about it. And I could say, I got an email. Here's what it said. Here's where the link took me, etc. If you get an email from a colleague at work, you should go to them, according to the article, and ask if they sent it. Review the sending domain if it didn't originate from the domain. And also be very suspicious. If doubt remains after all of this, contact the department. You do this if you have a suspicious charge on your bank or credit card company. Do that. Talk to them. Hey, I got an email that said it came from this department. Am I supposed to do anything with this? This looks suspicious. If they ask to see it, send it. They won't be upset. If they sent the email, they'll tell you. If they didn't, you will have prevented an outside attack. And that is a good thing. If you end up calling the number in the email, the phishers are well ahead of you. They are going to have people staffed to answer any questions people have. So if it's saying coming from the Jared Reimer Network, and you call the number in the email and you don't call the numbers that are on my website, you're not going to get me, Jared Reimer, at the Jared Reimer Network. You are going to get somebody staffed claiming to be from the Jared Reimer Network, and they are going to take advantage of you. And so these are a lot, and there's more to this article. I didn't cover every little bit. My intent wasn't to cover every little bit, but to talk about how even with me and various other articles, you know, here's what I want. You know, why are you asking me for this when I don't even know who you are? Why is this such a problem nowadays to just ask for, let's say, money? You know, I ask people for donations, and especially for, like, my White Cane Travel site, I said, if you like what you see, donate. There's a donation button directly on the webpage. On the blog, under pages, you will find other odds and ends. Right? So, the tech blog's pages, it's a list. There's a disclaimer on this blog. And the technology blog and podcast information you need. And on that, It was posted April 15th. And there's things you need to know. On this page, the RSS will allow me better control over the podcast. And I link to that RSS. And since we've changed now to a different provider, we've already redirected it. And as I said before, we're in test bed. And so hopefully it works. But you can go over, you can press enter on the link. We've talked about the service on a podcast. Now we've implemented it. And you could check it out. And it'll say Jared's Technology Podcast. So, one of the links is to the RSS. And the other one is to the RSS for the podcast. If I ended up deleting files at that time, then links would break. And so now I actually would like to link directly to them if I can. But on this page, as I'll quickly go through, there's contact information. I do need to update it by the looks of it. I have made some adjustments since, and the toll-free number doesn't exist anymore, but I plan to do that before this podcast is released so that the contact information is up to date. And so this blog has that, and the 921 number, if you call it, you will get me. It, when I answer, Skype made a change where voicemail greetings aren't saved anymore. I'm not exactly sure why, but there's definitely been some changes, and I'm almost tempted to just use my Google number. I do still use my Skype number. But I'm almost tempted to start changing over there to make it easier. But all of that is publicly available, and you can find that by just going to the blog. You can also go to my website too. My website has a lot of contact information up there. You can go to jaredreimer.net/contact.htm. And I can also call forward that number if I need to, but since I have the iPhone, it can also ring my iPhone when I'm not on the computer. You can also text or WhatsApp, and that information is available. And the information I provide is publicly available. So if you get something questionable and they don't give you anything listed on my website, and they give you something like a 809 area code to reach me. They say, you know, hi, I'm Jared. I'm reaching out to do this. Call me at 809 something. You know I have a phone number in 804, which is Virginia, and 818, which is just outside of Los Angeles County. It covers Woodland Hills, Reseda, La Cañada, Encino, and areas within LA County. And the only reason why I'm telling you this is to teach you about what you should be looking for and what might be looking suspicious, especially if you saw an email from me. And I'm going to look now. To determine a piece of information that I want to give you. Yep, the name is Jared Reimer Tech Blog and Podcast. At tech@menv.org. Jared Reimer is my name. Technology.jaredreimer.net. And that's all the signature has in it. But it has my full name just like it has in the name on the account. And, of course, you can always visit menv.org to learn what the organization is about. And that's where this address originated from when I did some moving around after my internet radio station was shut down. And, of course, what I would do, too, is if you didn't know who I was and you saw my name and a email address that you found suspicious, you could always search my name and get my website, my Twitter, my LinkedIn, and other social media presences. And you can always reach out. And I hope that by talking about this article, what to look for, using myself as an example, we will learn together to have the internet as safe as possible. And I think that's what it's all about, making sure that people are as safe as possible. You can't have it any other way. You could either be insecure and not care, insecure and try, or you can learn and be as secure as possible. We're always going to make mistakes. Even I've made mistakes, and I've talked about those mistakes on this very podcast before. I'm not perfect. Nobody here is perfect, and I'm not sitting here making fun of everybody here. I'm trying to get some good content to talk about it. I use myself as an example to utilize how easy this can be. How easy it is to just take somebody's name and put it in an email or put it in a message. Granted, it was a girl I was talking to. At least I thought it was a girl. And I played along with it. But then when they asked me for a gift card, and I read an article saying one of the tall tale signs is somebody who you don't know very well asking you for money either on a gift card or something else, because they need to communicate with you securely, or they give you a reason that seems out of the ordinary, then be suspicious. I got suspicious. You know, if I said, hey, Amber, I need money because I want to do this for my website, and I thought you would be perfect for it, and you can go visit the website and decide if that's what you want to do, and this is the website. I would say, here, send me this gift card. I would give you a website that I run and tell you why I think you should, if you're able to, or you could tell your friends and have, you know, people take a look at it and see if we can get some money raised. And I think that's the better way to go. Why would I ask for iTunes cards? I can't do anything but use it for iTunes. If I wanted to have people donate and I could use the money, let's say, to pay for somebody to come onto this podcast, and I then, you know, asked for the money in iTunes gift cards, and then the person said, where's the money? Oh, I got it sent on iTunes gift cards. Right? And then I'd have to pay them through my own pocket. I mean, this type of thing happens to... I bet you it happens to a lot of people. I bet you. And a lot of people are not aware of the signs of this type of activity, which is why I figured I would talk about articles like this one, Phishing 101, targeted attacks. In a way, I was targeted attacked by having a personal conversation about getting together with a girl and having fun, and then they want, you know, money, and I don't really know who they are. Then they tell me they're in a different... Then they tell me they're in the States, and then they tell me that they are... You know, that they can be sanctioned, and they can tell me this, and they can tell me that. Yeah, I'm a little confused, because you can't be sanctioned just by talking to somebody. It doesn't work that way. Talk to your employer about it. I'm sure they can correct you on it, because that definitely is wrong. You're out to scam people. You're trying to see how much you can get. The Gmail address is pretty legitimate in this case, but I'm growing more suspicious every time I hear from them, and I have every right to be. Sounds like a problem. It sounds like something we should talk about and learn. And what better way to learn on a tech podcast with an article that I'm going to link to that really goes into a lot of detail about what people should look at. And we can learn together. I suggest that you all read the article in full. And let's learn together. Because while I spent a lot of time on this topic alone, talking about my experience, although I did bring out an update on this situation in an earlier segment of this very podcast, I think that continuing to bring it up as a situation, and I didn't mention any names, by the way. So nobody can come back to me and say, oh, you talked about me. Well, no, I didn't. I talked about something that I've seen, and I'm talking about it because it's a sign of getting fished as part of now what we are learning to be as a targeted attack. When Fish Labs comes out with more, I'm sure that the Phishing 101 series is not over yet. When there is, I'll be glad to talk about it, because I think we all should learn about this. This is now becoming more of a problem than it was years ago. Even before the podcast was created, this was never much of a problem. But now, it seems like it's a daily program. Let's learn about it. Let's talk about it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm Jared Reimer, Podcast 287. I would like to thank this team at Anchor. The podcast feed is set up. The redirector is all set up. And the podcast is being submitted to multiple other places to where we can get more potential subscribers. I believe that this is going to work out in the long run. There were some bumps in the road. The show notes are going to be accompanied with RSS and the blog like they've always been. And we are very excited to now have a logo. And we would like to thank publicly the Anchor team for assisting in this transition. I really appreciate the time you took to give me a hand when I got an email stating that the podcast was rejected and I don't really understand why. I read specific guidelines and tried to make adjustments. I think what we're probably going to do too, folks, although most of the segments and most of the podcasts are pretty clean, I think what we'll do is in the segments that are strong language, which is mainly all that there is on this program nowadays, if at all, we will indicate that at the beginning of the segment. And I can also get clarification to make sure that we're following specific guidelines, but we are hoping to attract new listeners and maybe they'll find the content of value. And I hope to come out with some great discussion about things I've read. And maybe I'll even talk about some of my own articles. Twitter, now. Metro Rider alerts tweeted. Line 120. Buses detour via 120th between Aviation and La Cienega from 9:30 a.m. to so, we'll have to see how things go. Now, I am going to end this particular podcast. My email and iMessage is tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. You could text or WhatsApp me at 804-442-6975. And you can also find other contact information available on the blog. The blog might link to articles. It has the full show notes. And we also have pages that have information about the podcast, including contact information. And we also have a disclaimer, which is played at the beginning of each and every podcast. The blog address again is technology.jaredrimer.net. Thank you so much for participating, listening, and we'll see you soon.